Hi there, folks. My name is Paul. Hello and welcome. Welcome back as we continue our Bible study series in the book of James. And we're in James chapter 5 now, coming down to the meat of it. Thank you again so much for taking the time to join with me. Now, even though we are coming to the end of it, it would be easy to think, hey, it's almost over. Whoo! This is heavy stuff. Yes, but also there is a lot in here. So I don't know yet. Obviously, I haven't recorded them, but I'm going to take a guess that there's two, perhaps three, maybe even four videos as I try and keep them to a reasonable time length, little chunks that we can take not too much out of our day. I understand not all of us are, you know, used to, and certainly for most of the years of my life, Bible study was not something that came easy to me. Even since I came to the Lord, it was another, you know, 20 plus years before I really found the amazing beauty and glory and majesty of the scripture and what the Lord wants to impart with us, to us, through us, because of his son. And everything here in scripture, yes, points to his son. Everything, Old and New Testament, it's all about Jesus. And with that as an overall understanding, that big global picture, the scriptures are about Christ. Not about you, not about me, they're about Christ and how we live in him, how we abide in him. That was his prayer. And so as we understand that, also now in James, understanding this was written to a Hebrew audience. And so for us to fully understand this, rather than just be saying, well, you know, what does this mean to you? We need to understand, what does this mean? What did it mean to them? What was the context? And because of their culture, James here is writing in such manner things that we would see different, but they would see clearly. We might see veiled, they would see in the open, because they have the culture of history and their entire lives to explain what is written here. Which is why as we go through this, we must both understand what James is writing, but also their cultural context for clear understanding. Then we can say, how do I apply this? What is the lesson to be learned and how do I apply it? That's where we bring it to us. But in the understanding, what does it mean? Period. Full stop. That's where we finish that sentence. So I think what I'll do is I'll read through verse 13 through 18. Then we'll come back, look at some notes, look at some context. Got a couple of little side steps along the way, food for thought as well, things to meditate on, chew on perhaps. And we'll go through them. Verse 13, James chapter 5. Read along if you would with me. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is any cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Verse 14, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. 16, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, verse 18, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So much in here. I know this section alone is going to be at least two different videos. So let's get into it. Grab your pen, grab some paper, if you don't mind making notes, perhaps in the columns if you have a study Bible, something like that. Let's get into it. So, verse 13, is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is any cheerful? Let him sing psalms. And we left off the previous video with a connection between verses 12 and 13, wrapping up verse 12. It says here, you know, let your yes be yes, your no be no, lest any of you fall into judgment. Is anyone suffering? Let him pray. And we see here, because in the Greek there is no spacer, there is no paragraph break here. And we see here this, that there's a connection perhaps between judgment, falling into judgment, that could be from God, that could be from others, it doesn't say, and then there is suffering. And if you are like me, which likely you are in terms of our human nature, suffering is a part of it. Christ himself called the suffering servant. Suffering is part of our human experience. And it comes from so many different places. But if we look here, is any among you suffering? In the Greek, kapatheo, it means afflicted. This is something has happened to cause emotional distress, undergoing hardship. And it's different to what we see in verse 14, is any among you sick? It appears, and you know as I do, this emotional struggle that we have when we are suffering, we wishing things would be changing. So I want to just address that a moment, sidestep if I can, a couple of points. It's really important, especially in this day and age. It is so important, and this is why we need to know the whole body of Scripture, that we follow the leading of our Lord. And I have a note here, a reminder, Psalm 23. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I find rest even just in that moment of Scripture. If you're suffering, go and find Psalm 23 and meditate on it. Pause on it. Think about it. Consider it. He does these things for us. In Matthew 11, from verse 28, Jesus speaking, he said, Come to me, all you who labor, who are heavy laden. And we know that the baggage that we carry can bring suffering, emotional distress on its own. And he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you, he says, and learn from me. I mean, we need to just underline that, and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find what? Rest. Rest for your souls. For he continues, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And if we can just learn from him how this can be so, and this is a sermon on its own for a Sunday morning, to be able to rest in the Lord. The problem is, for most of us, we have one foot in the Lord, we have another foot in the world. We're doing the hokey pokey between Christ and the world and everything, and we're in distress half the time. That's not resting in him. We need to listen. We need to listen. We need to follow. We need to understand the leading of our Lord. Now in Psalm 32, not 23, 32, we read from verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse, do not be like the mule, which has no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle. Do not be like them, but rather follow, listen, learn, in a sense, spend some time every day, if you can, every day at the feet of Jesus with the word open, meditating on these scriptures. So back to James, is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Him, her, of course. But notice it's now talking to us. This is instruction for us. And we'll get some context here. And this is important. As I said up early, suffering, affliction can come from things in the world. It can also come from, you know, correction, reproof from God. Yes, absolutely. And most certainly, let me add, can also come from the enemy. Ephesians 6:12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this present darkness, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Yes, this is the wrestle. For those of us walking in the flesh, this is the struggle. But we recognize it, we know it, and we understand that Christ has overcome, therefore he in us through the Holy Spirit, we too can. Daniel 10, verse 13, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, the archangel, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I'd been left alone with the kings of Persia." And we see here in the context of this prophecies concerning Persia and Greece, and Daniel was waiting and praying, and an angel was sent to help him, but this angel was held up by the principalities, the rulers in Persia, in the spiritual realms, but Michael came to help. He was free, and then he came. And this one, having the likeness of man, strengthened him, it says. And in this conversation, we see reference to these different regions. We need to remember, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but... So here I ask a question. Are you truly, truly walking in the Lord, walking in the Spirit? Are you truly fighting the good fight? Or are you selfish in your ways? Are you still seeking after things of the flesh, claiming Christianity, professing Christianity, but not living it? And no judgment to you now. Please understand this. Not from me, not at all. This is all of us at some point. But we must then grow in the Spirit and begin to walk therein, worthy of the calling to which we have been called. This is part of that process, the sanctification process, where we are walking in the Spirit, leaning towards the things of love in Christ, and looking to learn from him, and looking to grow in him, and looking to seek from him everything that we might be conformed into the image of him. And this is a process also told, in Scripture. Holiness, that we are to be holy. God says, "Be holy as I am holy." And this is a process by manner of way of which we are living, not because we are saved by such. No, we are saved because of our faith in Christ. But if you want to truly enjoy that rest which comes from Christ, you need to be walking in Christ at the same time. So I guess the question I ask is, with all of this, what am I getting at? What am I getting at? Why am I spending so much time on this particular section of this particular verse? My question is, where is your suffering coming from? Where is your affliction coming from? Is it coming from things of this earth? Questionable decisions, questionable friends, maybe. Or is it coming, like from Daniel, because you're in the trenches, because you're in the midst of spiritual battle, doing the work of the Lord? And don't misunderstand me here, please. God will help in either situation or circumstance. But I find myself, I was going through my notes and I remember a book I saw. I didn't bother reading it. I just looked at the cover. It was from a Christian bookshop and a friend of mine was reading it. I'm looking at the cover just going, because, like, what? The title of the book was, "Why Does This Keep Happening to Me?" Chances are because you keep doing the same things. What's the old phrase? If nothing changes, nothing what? Changes? Sometimes we do need to get involved with very deep, very thorough, very careful self-examination. Sometimes we need to also exercise our spiritual authority to make change. And you have that authority. If you're walking in things of the flesh, if you're still chasing after things of the world, and there is suffering because of it, and the closer you come to Christ, there will be, I promise you, I guarantee it. Jesus himself said it. In this world, you will have trouble. We need to do a self-examination and look at ourselves and our suffering, where it is coming from, and if necessary, use our spiritual authority in Christ through the Holy Spirit of God himself who dwells within to overcome it, to make better decisions. Discipleship, it's not a thing. The way they teach discipleship too often in the modern church, it's wrong. It's corporate. It's businesslike. It's worldly. It's philosophy. That's what it is. No, discipleship is about becoming like who the person who is discipling you. It's why Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So you need to find in your life a mentor who is walking in the Spirit, producing the fruit of the Spirit. That's how we know with what kind of tree you are, such fruit shall you bear. And you need to seek after such things, be like them as they seek to be like Christ. Or better yet, oh, I love this. The veil was torn in two. We now have access. Scripture says we can come boldly to the throne of grace in a time of need. I think discipleship in this time, in this age, certainly something of need. And you and I, we can come directly to Christ himself and say, search my heart, Lord. Show me, reveal to me my fault and my failings. How may I become more like you? And let me just give you a moment's warning. Careful. If you pray that prayer, you better be ready for the answer, because it will come through suffering. Yes, it will. But in a godly way, because you're seeking after things of the Lord. We move from being a believer, yes, I believe in God, praise the Lord, to becoming a follower. I'm going to do these things, I'm going to follow, I'm going to become a Christian. Going to change things in my life, to becoming a disciple who has but one goal, to become like Christ and make other disciples. That's the point. That's the end of it. It's not programs. It's not bullet point lists. It's not tests. It's not quizzes. It's none of that. It's none of that. It's not courses and outlines and credits. No. No. Wrong. Becoming transformed into the likeness of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. That is discipleship through another man. Is any among you cheerful? Yes. Let him sing psalms. And let me just quickly throw in, how do these two go together? Why, we count it all joy. What do we see here? Right back in the beginning, in chapter 1, we count it all joy when we fall into various, what? Trials. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces, what? Patience. There we have suffering whilst we wait. Right there, right up front. But how do we count it all joy? Because it's godly. It's because of our walk in faith in him. That's how. If any among you cheerful, sing psalms. Amen. And not just Sunday mornings, in the car, at home, in the middle of the night. Sometimes I have woken up and just gone, oh, that was not a good dream. Man, that was wicked. It was of the enemy. It was horrible. And I just start singing a psalm to go back to sleep, singing a chorus, singing a worship song. Sometimes I've just, my wife sometimes is away for work, as I've also been away for work and other family things as well. We have family and they don't all live here. So we need to travel and see them sometimes. And she's been away or I've been away. And I would just put on some worship music as I'm going to sleep. Just gives me company when I'm on my own. And Sometimes I've just gone, man, I'm getting up, I'm going to worship because I'm joyful in the Lord, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. Whose joy? His joy. His joy, what? In my suffering? Really? Yes, because it's making me more like Him. It's leading me to Him. It's not pushing me away. And there's an important thought right there. Verse 14, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. We're at 20 minutes already on this video, and I'm a page and a half into five pages of notes. I think I'm going to leave it there for this one. This one. We'll come back with verse 14 in just one moment, next video. I love that. Is any among you cheerful? Are you suffering? Pray. Are you cheerful? Sing psalms. You can be cheerful. You can be joyful in the suffering if your suffering is because of Christ and your testimony and your walk with Him. That's the key from this part, this video, right here, right now. Let's leave it there. Let's come back. Let's dig into this next section very soon. God bless. I pray for your week. Not too much suffering. I do pray that for you. I really do. But whatever might come, that you do it with Christ, that you do it with faith and patiently, resting, relying, and waiting on Him. God bless.